Welcome back to the Trade Waiters podcast, everybody. This is the comic book show only, where we don't talk about any other sort of trades. And I know Daniel's going to try and do a joke, but we're not going to. We only talk about comic books.
I already did that last time on the last draft. I'm not gonna recycle jokes.
Yeah, no other trades are happening. Yeah, unprofessional, unfunny, quite frankly. But this is the show where we read a different comic book every single week. My name is Nathan. Across from me is Daniel. We're brothers. We read books sometimes.
No, we read comics only.
Yeah, comics. The ones with pictures, whichever ones those are. There's pictures, we're there.
Easily.
We'll read a Dr. Seuss book at some point. Is that technically a comic?
No, it's like a children's book.
I mean, some comics are children's books.
No, there's like children's comics that have like panels, and they're like for children. That is like a picture book where like the page is like one picture. They're all splash pages.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. They're all splash pages, apparently. Yeah,
that's unfair.
Yeah.
But anyway.
How are you this week, Daniel? What you been up to? Been doing some cool stuff, or what's going on?
We went to like Mexico, and then that was fun.
That was pretty fun.
Good time. Yeah. So I haven't had any time to really consume any kind of stuff, so our poll list will probably be pretty short.
Dude, I actually somehow managed to consume a bit for the poll list. I'm very excited for that segment.
I can't wait to hear you talk about all that.
Yes.
And me just sit and listen.
I'm very prepared.
Why did you ask me what I did this week?
I don't know.
What did you do this week?
I didn't do anything this week, really.
Is your life just so cool?
I moved stuff, and that's about it.
So boring.
Yeah.
As you can see, my moving has not, like, progressed.
Wait, wasn't there Pops there in, like, those shelves earlier, or, like, comics? What happened?
No.
There was stuff in there, wasn't there?
It hasn't changed.
Really?
I've made no progress. We've had a couple episodes up here.
Dude.
It just sucks, because going up the stairs... And there's so much crap. I have so much shit.
Moving stuff around your house sucks more than just moving across entire houses.
I agree.
Because, just going to be so easy because you don't have to go anywhere, but you do. It's just all inside your house, and it's really annoying.
Exactly. Not even.
Yeah. I feel that struggle this week. But nobody cares about that, Daniel. They only care about the sweet, hot news that we have to offer.
Nathan, hot off the press.
Hot off of the press.
Invincible has been confirmed for season two and three.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You read my mind.
I didn't know if you would know that or not.
I did. I'm so excited. Apparently, the last episode's already out right now as we were recording on Thursday. I didn't realize it would be the last episode already, but it makes sense given where the last one ended.
Yep.
But yeah, super excited that I got renewed for... two seasons.
I was like,
one.
I'm like, they'll probably get a second season. I don't really know how well it's doing.
Yeah.
I know that we love it, but I don't know, like,
yeah,
Amazon wise, if it's that good of a show kind
yeah.
of thing.
And I just knew, like, I cherish it greatly.
Yeah, it makes my week,
yeah,
for sure.
I know one person that doesn't normally read comics that also enjoys the show, and to me, that's worth the second season.
Who's that?
Matthew.
Oh, I thought he reads comics.
No, not really.
Oh, all right.
But I told him to watch the show, see if he liked it. He does.
Sarah seems to like it, which is like the biggest surprise.
It's very, I mean, it's doing what the comic has always done, which is just be a very accessible thing that does a lot of, like, it kind of flips the genre on its head, you know, and it's doing that constantly. And it's a funny book. It's charming, like, and brutal all at the same time. It's doing, it hits all the correct notes. So it doesn't surprise me that it's been renewed.
All the things you love about comic books, just not, or about like superhero comic books, but like just done differently.
Yeah. And
the Kirkman way.
Yeah. And there's still that sort of same excitement that when people die, they're dead kind of deal, rather than having them come back and stuff. So
that's great.
It hits everything. Just,
it's like my favorite part.
The whole thing hits different, let me tell you. Well, yeah. So that's probably the biggest, most exciting news that happened, I would say.
We also got a Sweet Tooth trailer, Nathan.
We did today.
Coming June 4th.
June 4th. So soon.
We're going to have to read so many comics in order to get caught up with just the shit that's coming out.
Yeah.
And the adaptations.
The amount of stuff that's coming out in the next like two or 3 months, I've had to like write it down on a calendar. And we're going to be pretty busy.
We got to read this thing this week.
I'm honestly so excited for it. So.
Yeah, dude. Can you... Because I was like, oh, I'm going to be so depressed when Invincible's over. But then like next week, we got like Jupiter's
Legacy. Yeah. Batch also comes out next week.
Oh yeah.
And we got
so much
like
stuff.
The MODOK series. I know you've been just so excited about the MODOK series.
I look forward to it. When does that come out?
That's in like the end of May,
Okay. And then we got some Loki.
Yeah, we got some Loki. We got all sorts of things coming
out. It just keeps coming. We got to make time for all this content.
I think we'll be able to read everything that has been in its comic form.
We'll do a MODOK.
A MODOK book. I'm very excited for a MODOK book. I don't think you understand.
I think Patton Oswalt is writing a MODOK book.
Yeah, he's co-writing the one that's out right now. I think issue 4 just came out.
Okay, so it might be in trade form.
Maybe it's good. Who knows? But yeah, Sweet Tooth trailer. Looks great, right?
Yeah, looks like a quality show. Yeah. And then
it's a movie, right?
Thought it was a show, but it actually looks like a movie now that I think about it.
I actually don't know. I'm going to look it up real quick. But
just go to Jeff Lemire's page.
I'm just going to type Sweet Tooth and see what comes up.
I guess I follow two Jeffs.
It says for Netflix's... Oh, wait, hold on. TV series.
Oh, okay, actually.
Cool. Yeah, it is. It's according to Wikipedia.
Sick.
Yeah, so that'll be super cool. Yeah, it looks great. I mean, the child actor that they got looks like he's doing pretty good with some horns on him and stuff. I don't know. I don't actually know anything about Sweet Tooth, so I'm excited for when we eventually read it.
Yeah,
because I know it's one of like Jeff Lemire's like pinnacle sort of series that he's done, especially his like written and drawn work, and it's all incredible. And for that to be like one of the ones that people refer to the most, I'm excited to read it. He never misses.
Did he do the interiors?
Yeah, he did the internal art. Okay. It was for Vertigo back in the day when that was a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
When they said like a comic from DC, I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a
like,
Vertigo.
Oh yeah, huh?
Vertigo, yep.
But way like, back when. Now they don't say that because it's just not a thing anymore.
Yeah, yep. And apparently Robert Downey Jr. and his wife are producing it.
I saw that. I was like,
We knew that Robert Downey Jr. was involved in some form, but I didn't know that it was like also his wife, which is kind of cool.
I didn't know, Nathan.
Well, it's because you suck, Daniel.
Apparently.
We talked a little bit about Robert Kirkman. Did you know that the final issue of Outcast is out today? Issue 48 came out yesterday.
There was 48 issues of that?
Yeah, apparently.
I think I stopped around like...
Which if you think about
16 or something.
How many... Is that 4 years running?
If he's on time, yeah.
If he's on time, yeah. So...
That was a cool series.
That's kind of crazy.
I liked it. Off the bat, and then for some reason I guess he like mistakenly pitched it to somebody
and then it got picked up
and so it was like almost coming out like concurrently with the comics.
Is Outcast the show still happening? Surely not, right?
You know, they had a first season and it was actually really good, and then they had a second season. It was like, and I don't know what channel it was on, and then it went to like ABC or something, and I just didn't know how to like stream it. You know what I mean? And so there is a second season, but I think you'd have to like buy the episodes in order to watch it.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, no. And so I don't know if anyone actually watched the second season.
Interesting.
But
anyway,
it's confirmed that there's going to be a Captain America 4.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, getting the spoilers with it'll have a Falcon and the Winter Soldier in it.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Can you believe that, Nathan?
Unbelievable.
And then another piece of news that I saw is there's going to be a Suicide Squad series called Get Joker, written by Brian Azzarello and Alex Maleev. Yeah, cool. And Matt Hollingsworth, coming August 3rd.
Wow, those are all really great. Yeah.
Big hitters.
Alex Maleev is like one of the best on the medium. Like he's
fantastic.
So distinct. He's like a multimedia artist, so meaning he takes it, like, he like does some painting, and then he like does some like drawing and shit with it, and then he like takes it over to digital form,
and he draws on driveways.
Yeah, he draws on paper and then he draws on tablet.
Nice.
And he paints. So yeah, and his stuff just always looks so banger. So
he did cool. A lot of stuff with Bendis, right?
Yep.
Yeah, like Daredevil, I think.
Yeah, Daredevil. I always mix up Alex Maleev with another of the people that he works with, but I'm pretty sure Alex Maleev was Daredevil.
Yeah.
May have been. Yeah. I think the both of them did Leviathan Rising and that whole event at DC together.
Ooh,
and
gotcha.
That shit looks great. So
sick.
Good stuff. DC Fandom. You remember that?
Yeah.
It's coming again.
Ah, shit.
October 16th, 2021.
Did anyone go to that? October 16th. Oh, yeah. Summer, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is coming, huh?
No one went to DC Fandom because it was a completely virtual event, because it was like DC's version.
Yeah, no
of like
one
doing
went to it, but did people log on to it?
It was very successful. Yeah,
really?
At the time, yeah. Like, I think it was like more successful than like most days of the virtual San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh.
Which is pretty nuts, so.
Yeah, it looked pretty stacked, but it was really just like me waiting on Instagram to see for other people to post all the trailers.
Yeah.
And that was perfectly fine.
There was like a lot of, yeah, there was like a lot of like trailers that they kind of put towards the end. Like that was our first look at the Zack Snyder's Justice League thing. And a lot of it, I mean, they covered all grounds of like DC, like video games, the comics and stuff. So,
oh yeah, because that's when they got like the Suicide Squad like game trailer, yeah,
the Gotham like Knights trailer.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, okay. So hopefully we'll see more on that because those properties aren't coming out this year. So
nice.
Hopefully we'll see some more cool stuff. That's everything I have, Daniel.
Samesies.
Pretty solid news week. Just a lot of exciting, cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I would say
very exciting.
But with that, we'll go into the book that we read this week. Which was, what's Daniel?
Irredeemable Ant-Man.
Yes.
By Robert Kirkman, Phil Hester, Andy Parks, I don't know. Bill Crabtree. My boy, Russ Wooten.
Russ Wooten.
Yes, sir.
He's our favorite.
and yeah, what has Phil Hester been on?
Family Tree.
That's right.
Okay. You asked that last week?
I'm so sorry. I was like, I don't recognize this. But now that you say that, I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
You absolutely do recognize it. I promise you. Yeah. Everybody on that creative team is awesome. Honestly, like it's such a strong creative team. I mean, obviously, like most of them are Robert Kirkman's usual crew, including Bill Crabtree and the Wooten.
Yeah. Bill Crabtree's cool. He's done a lot of Invincible.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty cool. So this is the series that is an Ant-Man that is not the normal Ant-Man, being Hank Pym or Paul Rudd, Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
It's a third one that isn't necessarily supposed to be an Ant-Man, and he's kind of a dick. And that's sort of the pitch.
Yeah, that hits a nail on the head for sure.
Total douchebag. He's not supposed to have the Ant-Man suit, and he kind of takes advantage of being a superhero.
But, you know, some of his motives, I'm like, I get that. You know what I mean?
No.
No, you're totally you're disagreeing with this guy 100%.
I don't root for him, let's say. I mean,
yeah,
like the series is like fun and fresh.
But
and
I also
like,
didn't want him to like
get caught.
Yeah.
I definitely get that.
I wanted
like,
him to turn around and be better.
I get that only because I was having like a lot of fun reading the book.
Uh-huh.
Because it just feels so different.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
As far as like the superhero genre goes, this guy's a douchebag and he's having fun being a superhero like we all would if we just all of a sudden had an Ant-Man.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think
so. I wasn't rooting for him because I think he was doing like definitely some sketchy shit, but like it was fun to like, it was a romp, you know?
Yeah,
it was a hoot.
Sure. The vibe was like interesting for sure.
Yeah.
And that kind of, it was like different for sure as far as like it being like really action heavy and just kind of the whole theme of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There isn't much of one.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. It felt very, it's like very different storytelling. And I think Robert Kirkman has always sort of done that at Marvel, where it's like he kind of brings like a fresh new idea to like his stories. Cause
it's definitely different stuff.
Cause he's done like Marvel Zombies at Marvel.
Yeah. Big example.
And like now this, and it's something that probably won't happen in like the same way again. Like we'll probably get heroes that we're not supposed to like, but
mm-hmm.
to execute it in such a way like this, I don't think we'll see for quite some time. So
what something I liked about the book is like it jumps back and forward between like time, like mm-hmm. 6 months ago and then now.
Yeah, there's past and present, but the present sort of bookends each issue.
Yeah, and so and then eventually just meets up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of explain that.
So yeah, issue one. There's a classic mugging of a woman on the streets, and she's got her purse with her. But the mugger with the knife gets sort of beaten up out of nowhere, and it turns out to be Ant-Man. But it's not the Ant-Man that we're used to, because one, his costume looks different, and he also asks this woman whose life he just saved out to dinner as like a way to thank him, which is kind of sketchy and like douchey, to be honest. But she says yes, because she, like what else was she going to say, you know?
This kind of looks like a Ben Reilly like Ant-Man.
Dude, that's such a perfect way to put it. Like it's the best Ant-Man suit design by far, because I really don't,
really cool for
like,
sure.
The Ant-Man helmet, like normally in like comics where there's like a weird like tube thing kind of going around like the jawline,
yeah,
it's just weird, like what is that? But I think I'm just a sucker for like really big eyes in like comic book costumes, so like
for sure
when there's a Spider-Man costume, give me the big eyes. I don't want the stupid like
little ones that squint.
Yeah, I don't like those from like the like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Like I don't think those eyes are like particularly that great.
Those are like in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. But the Amazing Spider-Man costume, I think, is my favorite, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the Big Eyes has something to do with that just because it's fun.
Sure.
But yeah, I really like this costume. It also has like antennas, like an ant would.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so just like the design is just, it's so good.
It's got this like magenta to it and yeah. then like a chrome there's secondary
some,
color to
there's
it.
There's some sweet like shoulder pieces and just, I just really dig it, to be honest. And that's why I like this character, or I like the book, because I like seeing just this design.
Yeah, it would hit different if it was like the old one that we knew before. Yeah. You know? So yeah. This one, it's like we're able to kind of separate that in our mind.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a great opening to sort of like set the stage of this Ant-Man being like very different and not traditional.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of douchey and is like, well, you can help me out with dinner, you know, if you want to thank me for real.
Right.
So, kind of weird. But anyway, so that's like the present part of this book, and then it jumps to 6 months earlier, and we cut to a helicarrier where there's some SHIELD boys that are playing poker, trying to determine, like, while playing poker they're like having conversations, and they're trying to figure out if Nick Fury is like a myth or if he's like actually real.
Yeah, I guess the helicarrier is like big enough to where like you don't actually see him often.
Yeah.
And so they just like,
and people are like theorizing that Nick Fury is just like supposed to be a myth because SHIELD wanted like a person to be leading it all, but really it's like, it's actually like the government controlling us and stuff.
It's
like
the
that
1%, man.
Yeah, it's the 1%. They're controlling all of us. It's just
the suits.
We're just their weapons, like, kind of deal. So
yeah,
people are like, Nick Fury's not real, and one guy's like, no, I've seen him, I swear. So
these are like, I didn't realize that this was like a job, but they're all like surveillance people.
Yeah,
like they just like watch people, I guess, in the helicarrier.
They're doing like the boring jobs of the helicarrier, which is just watching people do normal people stuff.
It's like the equivalent of like, I don't know, being in like a call center.
It's probably like the equivalent of,
or just being like security at like a very safe place.
Yeah, like Marshalls, like just being kind of like loss prevention somewhere.
Marshalls.
Yeah,
dude, so people be stealing stuff in Marshalls.
Yeah, or just being like a mall cop, I would say.
Yeah,
yeah, something like that. So that's just very boring SHIELD jobs. So to sort of pass the nights, the boys are playing poker, and really the only guys we need to know this whole story is Eric O'Grady, is that his name?
Yeah.
Chris McCarthy, and then their boss is named Mitch. So Eric and Chris, those are boys, and then their boss is Mitch, but he's also kind of a boy. One of the boys, I should say. And we kind of get the idea that both Eric and Chris are kind of like assholes sometimes, kind of based off of this poker game. But Hank Pym is also on the helicarrier, and he's working on a new Ant-Man suit, and he's like auditioning like super elite guys to be the new Ant-Man, essentially.
Yeah, I guess he's making the suit for SHIELD.
Correct, yeah. But I think Kirkman has like a very Bendis-like dialogue where it's a lot of like back and forth between the characters, but it like has a really good flow that like keeps me entertained.
Yeah, it feels natural.
Like the Nick Fury as like a myth kind of concept is like definitely something that would happen.
Sure.
And it's fun to see it fleshed out over people just like, you know, over character development, essentially.
Yeah.
That's sort of the stuff that I think works the best rather than making Eric just like a blatant asshole, kind of like you are, you know, like
right. That's not fun. No one likes that.
Yeah, no one likes that. So it's better when they're playing poker and you see them like kind of take different jabs and you kind of get an idea of like who this guy is.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot. But so Eric and Chris were asked by their boss Mitch to guard a door with Hank Pym in it, while the guards that were guarding that door go to work on something else. So except they accidentally knock out Hank Pym because they didn't know if they were supposed to keep people inside or
keep him out.
So when Hank Pym walks out, they don't even know who Hank Pym is, I'm pretty sure. And they knock him out and they're like, oh shit. And then they go in and there's an Ant-Man suit there. So Chris decides to try on that Ant-Man suit and he accidentally shrinks himself in the suit. And then Eric just runs away from the situation. So
because he freaks out. He thought he just teleported or died or something.
So he's like, oh fuck. And he runs away. And then, you know, Mitch, the boss, tells Eric to keep his mouth shut and hope that Chris, who's now lost in like the helicarrier like vents, hopefully he like shows up soon before anybody finds out. So
right. They're
kind of in the situation where they have to just kind of make up scenarios. And so what I like about this is that by the end of it, we see that Chris is not the Ant-Man that we see in the present.
Yeah, because
it's actually Eric. But what's kind of funny is in the present, we don't know who that Ant-Man is. So we were led to assume.
Past. Oh, wait.
In the present, with the mugging, we didn't see the person's face.
Yeah.
And in this scene, Chris gets the Ant-Man suit. But in reality, it ends up being Eric because
he shows up for that date.
He shows up for the date later.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because we're not really like, we don't know who the main character is really at this point. And I think that that's kind of a cool way to do this.
I think at the end, once we realize that Eric is Ant-Man in the present, then that's kind of leads towards that.
Yeah, like it's kind of cool to like have a first issue where you don't really know who the main character is until like the very last page, you know.
And then like also,
I like that.
You know, Chris has the suit at first, and that's where we are at in the past. And then in the present, it shows that Eric is the Ant-Man. So we're just like, how did that get to there?
Yeah, you know? And so we have that to like look forward to in this trade. So
something that didn't get resolved in this trade was like Wolverine is on the helicarrier for some reason. I guess he's getting controlled by Hydra.
So yeah, that's from Wolverine Enemy of the State, which is a Mark Miller like Wolverine book.
Oh,
that's supposed to be like one of the best Wolverine stories out there.
No shit.
And I really want to read it. And I think that's why he's there, because of what happens in issue two with the helicarrier crashing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going after Wolverine.
Spoilers.
So that's kind of why he's there. So,
okay.
But anyway, the rest of issue one, all we really need to know is that Eric, he talks to Chris's girlfriend, Veronica, but Eric also kind of...
Who he kind of likes.
Yeah, so Chris is dating Veronica. Eric likes Veronica, but just is figuring out that they're dating. And then Eric kind of lies to her once Chris like disappears as Ant-Man. Eric lies to her that Chris is seeing another woman. And then like small Chris sees that from the vent and he's like,
I'm gonna kill him.
You asshole. He actually says duplicitous. He's like, you duplicitous person or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? So I looked it up. It means deceitful. I don't know why he couldn't have just said that.
It seems like a lot of people around me have been using words that I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they use them as if I'm supposed to know them. And yeah, I don't like that. Especially this book.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, pretty good first issue, honestly. And again, like I just like seeing the Ant-Man suit. One of the elements actually about the suit that we kind of find out a little bit later is that it has two legs
on it. It's kind of like the...
like an Iron Spider kind of feel.
Iron Spider, yeah, it's pretty sick.
Except what I hate about the Iron Spider is that there's three legs.
Yeah.
Why would there be three legs?
You know why.
Why?
Because the head counts as a limb, apparently.
But don't spiders have heads?
I don't know.
They do.
I think they have bodies that have faces on them.
I think you're just referring to how you used to draw a spider, which is just a circle with eight little things coming out of it.
It sounds right in my head.
I'm pretty sure they have heads, but I've always hated that about the Iron
Spider.
Oh, dude,
what about his dick?
Oh, maybe his dick's a limb.
Yeah, his dick is like one of the arms.
He's got a lucky arm. Like Nemo has a lucky fin. Like,
yeah.
His dick is the lucky
leg.
Yeah,
so like the four limbs that you have, then the three, and then his dick makes eight.
I figured part of the reason is so that he doesn't look like Doc Ock, but that's just dumb. They both have eight legs. So.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever. But anyway, issue two. So it's in the present again.
Sarah said irate. Do you know what that word is?
Irate?
Yeah.
No.
It means like mad or something. She's like, I'm so like irate. I'm like, you're going to rate what?
Well, yeah, what are you rating? Are you on Pinterest? What is
exactly.
This?
Exactly. Sorry, that was coming. I was trying to remember what she said.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't know that word, so I'm with you.
Okay, perfect.
So, issue two, it's in the present for this first scene, just like everyone starts. Every issue starts with the present and then ends with the present, and then everything
I did not
context.
Pick up on that.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay, nice. Well, you learn something new every day.
I just thought I was going back and forth between present.
So, yeah, it's the present. Eric is eating dinner with Beth, the girl that he saved from the mugging. He didn't even get her name at the time. She had to, like, tell him. And then he pulls the... I forgot my wallet move when Beth, and then like Beth agrees to pay. And when she does that, Eric orders like a bunch of expensive shit and then asks if it was okay after the fact.
Yeah.
Which is the worst thing to do. Because he was like, well, he does it in like such a douchebag. So he's like, he orders it. He knows it's expensive, right? And he's like, do you want me to cancel it? Like, I could cancel it if you want. So like, then he like puts the decision on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude. Fucking dick.
Yeah, he asked for like wine and shit, and then she's like, I'll just have a water.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I mean, if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't have that money anyway.
I guess that's one way to look at it. But I mean, he shouldn't be asking for anything in return, you know?
Let me
he's no Captain America.
Let me justify everything he's doing through the eyes of an asshole.
Okay. And I'll take it from the Captain America view.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. So then it goes back to 6 months ago.
Dude, this waiter kind of looks like Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh my god, he does. Is that Robin Williams?
Yeah, I know.
That's funny. So yeah, back to 6 months ago. There's still a small Chris running around in the Ant-Man suit in the vents of the helicarrier. And he gets kind of lost. And he's trying to figure out how the suit works at the same time. Like with the two legs and everything that's going on. While Eric tells Chris's girlfriend, Veronica, that Chris is just on a classified mission. Because he's been lost for a couple days, apparently. So
And then he finds some beans.
Some beans.
What the fuck? Then it's like a ton of food to him because he's like the size of like a cashew.
Like one bean is like, it takes two hands. It's a two hand thing. It's like a double Chipotle burrito. Just one bean.
Double wrapped quesarito, yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But like when he grows big, does the food, how does that work?
I don't think it grows with you.
I think that's how it was in Ultimates, actually.
Because like he was... Because one of these people get wet and then they grow and then they're dry because the water doesn't grow.
But that's on
him. So then he just has giant bean inside of him?
Well, because like the... I would think so. I think in Ultimates, I think actually he gets super hungry when he grows big.
Yeah.
But I think it makes more sense since literally everything is expanding or growing or whatever.
That's part of you.
Yeah. But the water wouldn't because it's just wet on top of you. Yeah, so when you grow, that's how it works in my head.
That makes sense to me, but I don't agree. You know what I mean?
No, I need you to agree before we can continue.
So he takes a bite of a bean.
Correct.
Which is like a mouthful of bean.
Mouthful of bean, yeah. Which is the
and
life.
Then he grows and what he just has a stomach full of beans still?
Yeah. It's as if he just ate more
beans.
But
it's not like a part of him yet if it's just sitting in his stomach.
If you had a big bean, the normal size big bean...
Or normal size
Daniel.
A normal size Daniel?
And an abnormally large big bean.
Uh-huh.
And you eat that, your stomach's full of bean. Okay? It works the same if you're really small and it's a normal bean, and you eat that, your stomach's full, you know?
Oh, then you shrink. It's not like the food. It's not like you throw up.
Yeah, everything in your stomach and everything on your insides
would have to shrink.
Proportionally shrinks and grows.
But if your stomach is empty and you get big, like Giant Man...
You're still hungry.
Then you're hungry, but just hungrier, I guess?
No, you're just still proportionally hungry.
But he said he was hungry when he got big.
Yeah, but that's in Ultimates, which is like the more realistic view, you know?
Okay.
They try to do like more realistic takes. That's why Hulk is an incel.
They didn't really think about it like as far as this question.
I think we cracked the code.
Yeah, so if it's in you, it gets bigger with you.
Correct.
Just like it would get smaller with you.
Yeah. So like
maybe it's like a surgery where like you don't eat before you turn it on or whatever.
Let's say you swallow a couple jelly beans whole, normal size, and then you grow really big.
It would like rip your stomach
and
open.
No.
Oh,
eat jelly beans normally in this universe. Eat jelly beans whole. Don't chew them. You grow really big and you throw them up. Those are big jelly beans now. That's how I see it.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah,
because you're in like a suit and it's making you
correct
everything within the suit smaller.
That's how I see
or
it.
Bigger.
That's how I see it. Yeah.
All right, we figured this out. You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah. I know everybody probably figured that out immediately.
It wasn't a problem before the podcast, but we figured it out on the podcast.
I did not think twice until you tried to discredit it. But anyway,
I don't even know if I would eat a mouthful of bean if it was in front of me.
That is a lot of bean if you think about it.
So much bean.
Like a mouthful, imagine.
What could you eat a mouthful of, Nathan? Of something that's only small?
Like a grape, maybe?
I could eat a mouthful of grape.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I mean, we all like...
That'd be juicy.
We've all been in a situation where we eat grapes and we try and fit as many fucking grapes in your mouth as you can.
Of course, where you like almost choke.
Yeah. So imagine that if you only had to do that with one grape. One normal size grape.
It's like you're taking a bite out of like a burrito, but it's a grape.
It's all one big grape.
A mouthful of grape. That sounds awesome. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Well, what about you? Do you have a different answer?
No, I was really going to go off of your answer, and I agree with it.
I assume you were asking me as a pretense.
I was like, an avocado?
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That's just a mouthful of guac, to be honest.
After you chew it, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Hellcarrier, it's under attack from some Hydra supervillains. I guess they were trying to get Wolverine.
It looks like it's just a lot of supervillains.
Hydra supervillains, apparently.
Yeah, I guess they have their own supervillains.
It might be a
thing.
They
can all fly.
It might be a thing because of Enemy of State from Wolverine. I don't know. I haven't read that. I think we should make a point to read it because it's supposed to be really good.
Put it in your notes.
I will.
Do it now so you don't forget.
No, I won't. I think it's in there already, to be honest.
Ah, okay.
But, so, Enemy Hydra supervillains, they're taking down the Hellcarrier for... reasons that aren't Ant-Man related. Well, Chris finds Eric, and they talk for a bit before they're ambushed by Hydra people. And then Chris is, like, shot through the head by one of the Hydra people, and he, like, dies.
Yeah.
And he dies pissed at Eric because Eric told Chris's girlfriend that he was a cheater.
Yeah, like, skimmed his head, and so he's still kind of alive for a couple seconds. And he's like, I can't believe you, or
which
whatever.
Is a bad way to die. But then also Eric steals the Ant-Man armor off of his dead body before the whole Hellcarrier crashes.
So you're just going to die?
What?
Okay, I jumped to that really quickly. So do you think that's a piece of shit thing to do?
I mean,
the Ant-Man suit off of
It's kind of fucked up, you know?
Off of your buddy's body.
You got to die with your boys. Everybody knows this. And a lot of people survived.
Yeah,
the helicarrier crash.
Who's to say that you would survive? You
know yeah, true. Mean? I'd probably take it off your body, to be honest.
Yeah, I would want you to.
And I think it's almost like supposed to be like situationally. I think it was presented in a way where it almost feels like Eric pushes Chris back when he's trying to like get into this room that they're running to, and then as a result, he gets pushed into like a bullet that's fired.
Yeah, because they get this door open, and he's like, "Out of my way!"
And he pushes him back.
Or just, I don't know if he pushes him back, but he pushes himself forward for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And then so Chris because gets shot. Of that, he gets like a laser through the head.
Yeah, which is kind of fucked up. I wasn't expecting that either.
Yeah, like, that was a page turn. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, that's fucked up. So he takes the Ant-Man suit and yeah. So and then the helicarrier crashes.
This is like the first page where I was like, all right, this is Kirkman.
Yeah, this is kind of spicy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were a few survivors, including the man and the myth, Nick Fury. He's uh-huh. alive. And then also presumably Wolverine, just because he's immortal. But
no, he was in it.
Wolverine?
Yeah, you see him later.
Yeah, you do see him later, but yeah. So yeah, there's a couple of survivors, essentially. And at first I thought it was interesting that he chose Wolverine from like enemy of state storyline, because I figured that those two things happen differently, but they do explain it later. Also, how cool are these double page spreads?
Oh, but
there's like a double
the crash?
There's like double page spreads like back to back
double oh yeah the it's crashing into like a into, cornfield or something yeah.
I just love the scale of it, because you see like a tiny little farmhouse compared to like the helicarrier,
right?
And normally farmhouses are pretty big, you know.
Yeah,
and the fact that one's so small and just everything crashing, it looks super cool. And then there's another double page spread of the aftermath that also looks kind of sick. Mm-hmm. So
all the debris.
So then meanwhile, again in the present, six months later, Eric ends the night with Beth kind of like lying about how he got the Ant-Man suit. He's saying that like he did say that Chris died, but he said it was from like Dr. Doom or something.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of lying about his whole situation, but he gets invited up for tea from Beth. And then we get a glimpse of his boss, Mitch, who's on his tail, kind of tracking the Pym particles that he uses when he shrinks.
Right.
But this time Mitch has a fucked up face and he's got a personal vendetta.
He's got like half his face burned. Looks like Two-Face.
Yeah, he's got Two-Face vibes going on. And yeah, so he's going after Eric, his old boss.
I guess when you use the Pym particles, it leaves like a residue, which is kind of gross to think about. But
yeah, what is that? I wonder. I can't explain that one, so let's not even try. But it makes sense that it would happen.
You remember that movie Jumper?
Ant-Man.
Jumper,
yes.
Where like they would jump, and then I guess like the
doors open for like a little bit, and you can jump in if you
want. Yeah, like that's how Sam Jackson like followed them, because he had some sort of machine that reopened it.
I think he just ran into it. Maybe they had a machine.
They had to like reopen it like a little bit and then jump into it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But then if they jumped again, they're fucked.
So Mitch is Sam Jackson in this case.
Basically.
I don't know why Nick Fury is a part of the story. Like,
literally no reason.
He's just kind of like. He's cool to see, but I also confused him with Mitch a couple times, because Mitch looks kind of like Nick Fury. He's just a white guy with black hair.
Yeah, big guy with shield stuff on.
Yeah, so anyway. Also, I'm a big fan of the way that Phil Hester draws silhouettes. Like, there's a couple times where there's, like, a silhouette of somebody, but there's still, like, the outlines of them are, like, the very, like, kind of rough pencils.
I like this one that's, like, it's a silhouette, but yeah. She's still got her clothes on, kind of. You can still see her clothes.
Yeah. It's oh, yeah, that one's cool. But I
like this one. Oh, where it's like in a shadow kind of thing?
Yeah, like the lines are still there, but they're like colored lines and everything else is black.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Did you see that when it was like a shadow on Mitch in a couple issues from now?
Yeah.
It's like half his shadow face and half like...
Yeah, it's awesome.
That actually might be a...
I love that
method. It might be a Crabtree trick, but...
Yeah, I assume it would be a Crabtree thing, but I've never seen that before, and I really dig that vibe, because...
That did stick out to me, yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, issue 3, we're in the present. Eric is having some tea with Beth, and that's it. She like specifically says no sex. So Eric leaves, but he kind of takes note of the apartment number and the address. And later he goes back as Ant-Man without Beth's knowledge. So he's like back in the apartment as Ant-Man. But jump back to the 6 months earlier with the helicarrier crash aftermath. There's a bunch of people that are hurt, including Nick Fury. But Veronica finds Eric and they like hug. Because Chris is dead, and they're like, oh, no. Or and actually, like, she doesn't know that Chris is dead.
And they, like, know each other.
Yeah, and they know each other.
No, he says Chris is dead right here.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Because he's like, he came back from his mission, like, just as the thing happened.
But he's dead now.
Yeah, he's dead now, though. Sorry. Oh, no. And I think the Ant-Man suit's just in his duffel bag. He has, like, a duffel bag.
Yeah.
That's kind of dangerous. What if she was like, what did you pack in a duffel bag before the helicarrier crashed?
I've never looked in another person's bag before.
That's fair. That's fair. I haven't.
Unless they're like, hey, can you get this thing out of my bag?
That's his business, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so then the next week, Veronica and Eric go to Chris's hometown to plan his funeral with his parents. And they're staying with, like, Chris's parents as well. Mm-hmm. And on a night that he couldn't sleep, Eric takes the Ant-Man suit and he tries to stop... He tries to do some justice or whatever on the streets. So he tries to stop this abuser from, like, hitting his wife on the streets. But he accidentally punches, like, a hole through his neck, which, like, pierces a hole and it causes bleeding. And that guy needs to be, like, rushed to the hospital.
Yeah.
Which is, like, actually what would happen, right?
Yeah, because he's got, like, his human strength, I guess. And yeah. He's still able to, like...
Human strength and force, but focused onto, like, a tiny little point, essentially.
Yeah.
That pierces through his neck.
That'd so be very stabby.
Yeah. It's basically, like, getting punched...
That's like needle. The last thing I expected.
I know.
I thought he'd be like, what the fuck?
Like, none of this, like, movie, like, bullshit where, like, because in the movies, like, Eamon's just, like, running on a gun and then he punches a guy in the face and he flips over.
Yeah.
But this is, like, how it would happen, I feel like. You just punch through someone's skin and they just start bleeding in, like, little dots.
Yeah, this is, like, an older guy, so I figured, like, oh, he's got, you know, weaker skin or whatever.
Maybe. So, Eric goes back to Chris's old house and... Veronica is there and she kind of needs some comfort. And then the next day is the funeral. And before Veronica and Eric go back home, they visit the gravestone one last time. It's like raining and stuff. And then they start making out essentially on top of Chris's grave for a while.
But, yeah, they get undressed and then Veronica like looks at the grave. And then
she realizes that she's making out on her old boyfriend's grave with his best friend. And then she calls it off.
I thought it was really fucking funny.
It's so fucked. Like... Why wouldn't
you just stay under that tree where it's nice and dry?
Yeah, they're like, what if he should have just been like, let's go over here a little bit, maybe like not
scooch over to this lady.
Let's not bang on Chris's grave, you know. So
if it like went through with that, I'm like, oh fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He wanted to, but they didn't.
I mean, he wanted to go through with it, but Veronica figured out that what she was doing and kind of called it off, which is good.
Right.
But Eric's still kind of a dick for wanting to do that in general.
Mm-hmm.
They both kind of are, but whatever. So so she calls it off. And then meanwhile in the present, Eric, as Ant-Man, is spying on Beth while she showers,
mm-hmm.
which is the big controversial thing in my head that I remember. He's just like a perv, basically, in an Ant-Man suit.
Right.
That, like, runs around spying on women in the shower and stuff.
Right.
So
when you're, like, a kid in, like, high school, and you think about, like, what powers you want to have, you know, teleportation, flying,
invisibility.
You want invisibility, you can go in some locker rooms or something.
You could, yeah.
And so this is just like the adult version of that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that someone wouldn't do this. It's just interesting that like this is in a Marvel book, you know?
Yeah.
This would not fly today. And I understand like...
Probably not.
Yeah. So, but yeah, at the same time, it's like, you know, he's supposed to be a dick. You're not really rooting for him.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's doing this, it's like, it makes sense, you know?
Right.
There are people out there that would do this.
Then Mitch comes a-knocking.
Yeah, Mitch. Two-Face Mitch comes knocking, and he's like, I think Ant-Man's here. I'm going to break down the door. And that's how that issue ends. So, in like the span of like 4 pages, he does 2 bad things. He has sex on top of his dead friend's grave, and then he's also spying on like a girl in the shower.
It just never ends with this guy.
Yeah. This guy is...
He hasn't learned in this last back-to-back 6 months.
Yeah. So, then it's issue 4.
Hold on. I like this... You know how sometimes I have the picture of like the next issue
mm-hmm.
in like the back matter of like individual issues?
Yeah.
They have like next issue and then they have next issue.
I like that too. Yeah. Yeah. They show next
issue. So it's like, issue. It's not only like, hey, this is what happens in the next issue.
You get a pick glimpse it up. Of
and then like the issues. next issue, it's like Ant-Man versus Ant-Man. So yeah. It like really gets you like, oh, I got to pick up the next two for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good marketing.
I do like that. So issue 4. In the present, Mitch and his S.H.I.E.L.D. team are doing like a sweep for the missing Ant-Man, which is Eric. But Eric is still in the building. So they're setting up like equipment and stuff to try and find Eric as fast as possible to get the suit back. But back in the past, now it's 3 months ago, the helicarrier
is back. This is a really good example of that shadow thing when he's like under the couch.
Yeah, and it's like it's the outlines of him are colored, but everything else is black, and I really dig that.
Yeah, that's actually a really cool picture.
Like Phil Hester just does it so well, and I just love the way he draws like everybody, the S.H.I.E.L.D. people, like normal people. I think that his art style is very like rigid and cool.
Yeah, it's very very likable.
Yeah,
and I think it works really well with like kind of this like caliber of like comic.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like just some nobodies, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Back to the past, this time it's 3 months ago instead of 6 months ago, but the helicarrier is back up and running in that 3 months, meaning that Eric and Veronica are back working, but they're kind of still a little shaken by the whole thing, it seems like, along with most other people. But they clear things up between each other, like adults that made out on their friend's grave, and they start being coworkers again. Mm-hmm. So. But Eric also gets questioned by Mitch, who's looking for the suit. But Eric is able to like lie his way out, saying that he never saw Chris come back. And even if he did, he would never be awful enough to take the suit off of his best friend's dead body, would he? And then Mitch kind of like buys that. So, and what's also interesting in this is that you assumed, I think, or I did at least, that Mitch's face got fucked up from the helicarrier crash. But this is 3 months earlier and his face isn't fucked up yet. So,
yeah,
like we know that at some point between 3 months ago and now, something fucks his face up, and we have that to like look forward to. And
I also think like when you first see his face, he talks about how he's like, he's gonna pay for what he did to me, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it must have not have been the crash.
I just assumed that he blamed the crash on him, which he kind of like alludes to a little bit at some point. But I just like that simple sort of storytelling. You'd think he'd have his fucked up face by now, but he doesn't.
At least he wasn't responsible for the helicarrier crashing.
That's true. That was just then like,
he's just like all bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that was just something
basically
that
all this is happening because of that Hydra thing, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah,
the worst of it that it would get is just Chris in the Ant-Man suit, but yeah, now it's just kind of escalated. So it's all because of Hydra, Daniel.
Well, if Hydra wasn't a thing and they didn't need to control Wolverine, then they never would have been called to be security for Hank Pym. Because they called off the different guards to go
fight Hydra?
No. Like, just guard Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
Because
it's Wolverine's fault.
No, it's Hydra's fault.
I know. That's what I'm. That's what I said. You're just saying it's Hydra's fault for a different reason, I guess. Okay, cool. So
you're right, but you're wrong.
I'm always right.
So we got our boy Eric doing what we all would do, and he's at the girls' locker room.
Yep.
And he's just on the ceiling.
He's a fly on the wall, but an ant on the wall.
Yep. And apparently there's like a sharpshooter taking a shower, and she saw something.
Yeah. She's like, what the hell is that?
And he scurries away and goes into a vent.
Yeah. And then after a few days, Veronica asks Eric out to go eat after their shift, but as friends. But we all know what that means. But of course, after their walk, they end up kissing and they start getting some close quarters in Veronica's quarters, if you know what I mean. So if then that night, after they've slept together, Eric sneaks out as Ant-Man and is kind of like fucking around with these ants he just figured out that he can control.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Mitch is given another prototype Ant-Man suit that detects Pym particles to hunt down Eric.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know it's Eric at this point.
Right.
And he actually catches him up in the vents, so they're about to start fighting. But not yet, because in the present, Mitch set up all the equipment up in Beth's house, and then they find Eric there. So there's a scene when he's like fucking around with the ants. He's like doing ant horse races.
And like ant fights.
Yeah, but the ant that he's rooting for in the race is losing. So like, why wouldn't you just control the one that's winning to slow him down?
I think he's just telling them to go like straight. Not necessarily to go faster or anything.
Like, you're saying he's not, like, controlling them?
Yeah, not controlling, like, how fast they go. He's just
telling them what to do. Actually, I think that is right, because he tries to get them to, like, roll over.
Yeah.
For, like, a scene there, and he's like, okay, you don't do everything I say, you just do what I tell you, almost.
Yeah, like, so they got,
if you want.
They got a bit of choice.
Yeah,
okay. So that one just happens to be slower, I guess.
That makes sense. So, issue 5. It's Ant-Man versus Ant-Man, as was alluded to earlier. In the present, Eric stalls for a bit, and then he jumps out of Beth's window to escape, and then Mitch follows with like a little shield flying car thing. That's like always been a thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. They just have like these sweet flying cars.
Oh.
I don't know if you've known that, but like I see that all the time in Marvel.
I just figured they had like all possible resources. It didn't surprise me.
Yeah, so he's got this flying car. Then we cut to 3 months ago, where Mitch and Eric are fighting some more, but this time as small ant men in the vents, and Mitch doesn't know it's Eric at this time, but he just knows that it's the missing Ant-Man suit and he wants to take him in. But Mitch is clearly like a more elite fighter, like hand-to-hand than Eric. But Eric has the upper hand of talking to ants. So he just kind of has them all dogpile onto Mitch while he like runs away.
Yeah.
Because Mitch is only in a prototype suit, so he can only get small, but he can't do any of the other fancy things.
Right.
So Eric uses that to get away. I like this panel. In like the very like first or second page where he's jumping out of Beth's like apartment, he's crashing through a window, but the panel itself looks like a crashed window. And I think that that's like a really clever like thing that he did.
It's
like,
is cool.
It's like so subtle, but the panel is crashed. And I think that that's cool.
Uh-huh.
So big fan. hold on. I need a little sip. So later, Eric blatantly lies to Veronica about where he went, like the night that they banged. And so they fight about that and they kind of stop talking to each other for a bit. And 2 weeks later, after their shift, Veronica tries to talk to him again. And Eric like blows her off in like a really douchey way. He's like, yeah, been there, done that kind of deal.
Yeah, dude, so, he's so dumb. He's like, so, the way he talks to people.
He fucks up every situation, I feel like.
Basically.
Because Veronica's trying to be really nice there. And she's like, I'm sorry, whatever. And he's like, yeah, whatever, bitch, kind of deal. So Veronica slaps him for being a dick. And then she goes off to her room where she starts crying. And she is actually crying next to a pregnancy test.
Yep.
So Eric got Veronica knocked up.
He knocked her up.
And I really like that page because it's just, it's a top down of her on the bed and it slowly kind of pans over to like a pregnancy test.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that was done pretty well.
I didn't notice until the big one where it zoomed in.
I didn't either, but it's, I recognized that it was like shifting over and I was like, I don't know why it's doing that. And then on the last panel, it shows the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And she's like crying, saying fucking jerk and stuff like that. So
I don't know if this is like how Kirkman writes, but he like uses this like reusing multiple panels like on the same page just to for subtle changes.
I assume he does note that for like the sense of pacing.
Yeah.
Because that is like a, that's like a pretty big thing for just like an artist, I feel like, to do themselves. Like it's common for them to like add or subtract like one or two panels for the sense of pacing, but I feel like Kirkman probably like,
he's like, hey, have he notes of those, the same panels.
Yeah. And have it like slowly pan over, basically.
Right.
Which it's not like it's more work on the artist. They just have to like make a slightly bigger picture and then crop it down and then pan it over with each panel, you know?
Right.
So it's not like it's,
if you're like digital, work. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're digital.
You just cut and paste.
So yeah, that's such a, it's an interesting way to spice up the story because I feel like Veronica would just like never recover from this. Like, because she's been through such like two shitty situations where, like, she finds out everything about Chris and how he's an asshole, but it was actually Eric lying to her. Mm-hmm. But inevitably, and we don't see it in this trade, she's probably going to find out that Eric is, like, a huge asshole and has been lying to her this whole time, too.
Right.
So, poor Veronica, honestly.
I know.
But anyway, that night, Eric is playing poker again at Mitch's room in his quarters with some more of the boys. Not Chris, though, because he's dead.
And thank you.
And Eric is kind of like flexing about his bluffing skills, and Mitch kind of like connects it at that moment that he's really good at lying, and Mitch kind of loses it and blames him for taking the Ant-Man suit.
He flips the table.
Yeah, he flips the whole table. He ruins the game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Whose chips are whose? I don't know.
Yeah, there's no continuing that. And so Eric is like denying it while the other dudes that are there are holding like Mitch back, and that's how that ends in the present for this issue. And then back in the present, Eric is hiding on Mitch's little flying car thing. In the present. So
yeah,
I really love just the poker games in general because I think the banter is like spot on. I just think that that stuff is like really good and keeps you kind of engaged, especially when there's like a lot of panels, because there's a lot of pages that have like 16 panels,
yeah,
or something ridiculous
like this one, and then there's like very little dialogue on each one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like those a lot too.
So yeah, issue 6, we're in the last issue now. The present, in the present, Eric reveals himself and tries to bullshit out of a situation with Mitch, trying to say like we used to be friends or whatever, but Mitch isn't buying it. It turns into a fight and he gets small again, basically to run away. But back to now, just a week ago, Mitch is escorting Eric back to his room to search his quarters for the Ant-Man suit, and Eric pushes Mitch out of his room, locks the door real quick, then throws on the Ant-Man suit and escapes that situation. But Eric decides he's gonna go live a life on the run now, because everybody knows, or will know pretty soon, that he is the Ant-Man, up until Mitch in his prototype suit tackles Eric from the vents into the cafeteria. So,
and then they fall into like some mashed potatoes.
Yeah, some people's food. Every Ant-Man book has to have like a little fight, and I love that.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah, but I feel like this little fight wasn't as creative that as like it could have been. I would have enjoyed.
They're fighting on someone's hat.
They are, and that's like the most interesting that it gets. It's just someone's hat. Like, sure. I would have enjoyed it if someone threw a French fry at another person. It was really big. It was a big French fry.
Probably pretty heavy down there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I feel like it could have been a little bit more creative, and that's just my opinion. But also, the name of this issue, it's called Endgame.
I saw that.
So Robert Kirkman comes up with Endgame before Kevin Feige?
Yeah, when did this book come out? Long time ago?
A long time ago. Like probably 2012.
I thought it was before. 2007, Nathan.
2007, that's an old book.
Oh, dude, we were little lads.
We were little then. Babies. Now we were kids.
Now we're bigger babies.
We were adolescents. So, yeah, there's a cute little fight. Eric manages to get on top of Mitch, and he's, like, slamming his head into the ground for a bit. But he tries to, like, jetpack away because he has, like, a jetpack. That's how he's able to, like, fly.
It's like at the end of those, like, metal
the arms, two legs.
Or the legs that he yeah. has.
And when he jetpacks away, he accidentally burns off half of Mitch's face. And then Eric decides to turn big, and he runs little Mitch to the operating room on the helicarrier. So rather than taking that chance to escape, he tries to help out Mitch. But that's also how he gets his face burnt. So that's how he gets the vendetta. And then the other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents see this, and then they try to catch Eric before he can leave. So Eric just jumps off the helicarrier, and he has to like assemble himself into the suit midair to turn into like Ant-Man.
Yeah, because it was all in his duffel bag or whatever.
Yeah. But my question is, why wouldn't he just jump off the ship in the first place? Why does he try to like disguise himself or like hide to get on like a transport ship out of the helicarrier? Why wouldn't he just jump off with the Ant-Man suit?
You got a point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So
there was a bit that I think we just like went past. I guess there was like directions on how to use his Ant-Man suit in the helmet.
Yeah.
And
there's like a few buttons on the helmet.
Yeah. And yeah, that choose how it works and stuff like that. And I guess the suit retracts into the helmet.
Oh, I don't think I caught that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's sick. Super handy.
So you could just have the helmet, but nothing else?
Yeah, because if you see this here, when he's like about to jump off, he puts the helmet on. And then he just got it, and it's got the little tech.
So that's how he's able to get it on so quick.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I missed that aspect, but that's good catch.
Do you remember like the instructions point?
Yeah, I do.
I
thought I was just like a funny little thing to be like, here's how you actually use the suit.
I think I read instructions really well.
In my head, when I was reading that part, I was like, apparently you can make the suit small but keep the helmet big if you want.
Right, and that's what that does. But it retracts it into the helmet.
Okay, that's the part I missed, I think.
Okay.
But that's pretty cool. So yeah, when he jumps off, he just has to put the helmet on. He doesn't give a shit about anything else.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Flash ring almost.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I love the Flash ring. That's the dumbest thing.
It's like, so dumb.
Like
this whole thing makes sense because the suit shrinks.
Yeah.
And he just goes in like a little compartment.
But in the Flash, I don't think you can hide that all in a ring.
Right.
Unless it's a pretty big ring, but it's not. So anyway, yeah, Eric jumps off the helicarrier, and that essentially brings us to Mitch recovering a few days later, and he's got a bunch of bandages on his face, and Maria...
Looks like Hush.
He does look like Hush. That's pretty funny. And then Maria Hill actually recruits him to hunt down the Ant-Man, because their resources are pretty tied up from the Civil War, I guess. Because I guess that's happening around this time as well.
Yeah, so I guess they explained it, like, verbatim. Like at the beginning of each issue, there's like an ant explaining what happened the issue before.
Which is a big help to me.
Yeah, definitely. I've read it all, especially just reading them back to back. But I guess the first issue happened before Civil War. And then like the second part, like that is like the present is like after the Civil War.
Correct.
For some reason. So yeah. I don't know why that's important.
Well, I don't think that's true.
I might have misread that or don't remember it.
Not the Civil War event happens, but I think the Superhero Registration Act that causes the Civil War happens between the past and the present of this book.
Okay. So yeah.
The Superhero Registration Act is where all the superheroes have to register if they want to keep, like, continue being superheroes.
And then isn't that what causes the Civil War?
Correct. But it doesn't happen for, like, much later because people form, like, an underground, like, superhero thing for a bit. So it goes on for, like, a couple weeks, it seems, before there's a big fight.
There's 6 months, Nathan.
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'm right. Let's move on.
I don't know if it's exactly 6 months, but we'll just have to read it.
Civil War,
yeah. It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a great book.
I have all the individual issues.
Dude, I remember you gave me all the individual issues to read, and I like read it up until like the movie, and I read like the last issue like in my car in the parking lot of Harkins.
So you were reading the last issue of Civil War before going into Captain America 3?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was, because, you know, procrastination, and I think I was in school when that was.
And you're like, I need to know what happens, even though it's completely different.
Yeah, I'd be like, I need to know what to look for.
It's a completely different concept.
It's like barely.
And you're like,
connects.
In the movie, you're like, what are these Sokovia Accords? What the hell?
Where the fuck is Spider-Man? Oh, there he is.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Reveal who you are.
that brings us to the present. It also literally brings us to the exact same page as the first page of this trade where Eric saves Beth from the mugger.
And then you just reread it,
but
I guess.
This time, there's a little Ant-Man that you can see this time. It's like very little. Like you see him actually punching the mugger, punching him in like the face and stuff, and he's on his shoulder for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's not in the first page. So that was kind of interesting, I thought.
Yeah, it's just like the same thing that happens, but from different angles.
They overlay Ant-Man. No, same angles and everything. They just overlay Ant-Man on top of it, punching him this time.
Okay.
I promise you.
You want to bet?
You should look it up.
You.
I don't want to bet.
You should bet me.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm just pretty sure I'm right.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then to bookend it back in like the actual present, in the flying car, Eric destroys the tool that they use to find the Pym particles, and he escapes, essentially. And later, he's looking for more women to spy on when he hops into Captain Marvel's purse.
Yeah, he's like scoping out people.
And he's like, that girl's got a nice rack. And then he jumps into her purse to spy on her later, but in her purse is her ID, and she's Captain Marvel. She's Miss Marvel at this time, but
it's like the Superhuman Registration Act ID form.
Yeah. So that's how it ends and goes into the next trade. But
ooh, spicy. You got to wonder what that goes into. And that's what we do the podcast for, to keep you wondering.
Exactly.
And then there's no fucking back matter, Nathan.
There's no fucking... It is a different page, by the way. I just looked it up. So you're right.
Wow. Say it again.
No. But yeah,
we got it recorded.
No fucking back matter. That's happened to us so often lately, I feel like
it's happened like 4 out of the last 5 weeks easily.
Yeah, honestly. So what the actual fuck? Like, I would have loved to see Phil Hester back matter, you know?
Yeah, that'd be sick. Designing the fucking suit?
I want Russ Wooten back matter of his lettering, which, by the way, looks identical to Invincible because it's like his style.
I guess so. He probably is
like... He like switches it up for Invincible, definitely, but there's like a lot of booms and stuff where like the O's like overlap to like a Venn diagram looking thing.
Yeah, so dude, lettering, like, I think you have to do that. Like, writing new letters for each book, unless it's, like,
maybe it's a waste of time. Owned. Like, you have the files, so might as well use them. But he's one of the only letterers where I feel like I'll recognize that it's him just because of that. Like, his distinct style with, like, sort of blockier onomatopoeia letters.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of has that style with, like, the double O's. But, yeah.
Right.
It's, like, him and probably, like, John Layman, because he actually puts a lot of work into his letters.
Yeah, he also told us that like he just reuses stuff for Chew.
Yeah.
By the way,
that's coming out pretty soon. The next trade.
Yeah, it's coming back. The next
issue. The next issue of the second arc is coming in June, I believe.
I can't wait.
I know.
That book was so fucking good.
And he said like the most ballsy thing he's ever written is like issue 12 or something, which will be like the last issue of
that.
Was
the first trade?
Six.
Six?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So another six. Yes. Dope.
So very excited for that.
Pretty
anyway,
excited.
No back matter, so let's go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box? Honestly, half the time, I don't expect back matter when it's like Marvel or DC. I'm like,
I expect it for DC, but at Marvel, I've kind of been burned a couple times, you know?
Because Mortal Kombat had it, so.
Yeah.
Damn. Anyway, I didn't go to the shop this week, but I know I'll get... Beta Ray Bill 2.
Yes. Oh, did you read number 1?
No.
But you absolutely should. Issue 2 was, I thought like, it seemed like, I've come up with this term. I can't remember if I've told you or not, but I thought it was going to be a Nacho series. Have I told you about this concept?
No.
Of the Nacho series? A Nacho series is when, like a plate of nachos, the first issue or the first experience is the best because you pick the chip with all the good stuff on it and you eat it. But as you go, it kind of gets a little bit more stale and there's like not as many good bits, you know?
Sure.
And when there's a good series, sometimes all the cool and exciting stuff is in the first issue. But as you go, it just kind of like gets stale.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Beta Ray Bill was going to be a little bit of a Nacho series.
Okay.
But it's not.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Issue 2, I loved just as much as the first one. And so I thought like the first one was like the best thing I've read like in like the last 10 years. So I'm very excited for it.
So it's more like a 7-layer dip.
Yeah. It's like he orders 2 plates of nachos. At least at this point, because it's only issue 2.
Layered but nachos.
There's in issue 2, there's a Murder Falcon reference.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm very pumped with that.
Very cheeky.
Are you picking up anything else?
No, I downloaded Snow Angels 2 or Snow Angels 3.
Oh, I need to read that.
It's pretty good. I like it. So I read 2 and then downloaded 3 because that came out this week.
How's Jock doing?
Has he got some good art? Art's like the best part.
Yeah.
The thing is like they're like running from stuff, but yeah. like they're in this like huge trench thing, and there's mm-hmm. no like ground. It's like all ice, so they have to like skate away. I just think that's really funny.
That's awesome, actually. He's like, oh no, we gotta run, and they're like,
because like the dude's like, skate.
Oh my like, god.
Dude. And, like, I get it for the purpose because it's all snowy and stuff there, but I just think that's so funny.
Imagine seeing that, like, on film, just like, oh my god, a monster, and they're like, shh, 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 shh. Holy shit, we gotta go, like, shh, 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 shh. Like,
you gotta skate faster.
Yeah, come on. Come on, you gotta fucking, what is that even called?
Swerve or swivel?
Swivel more. Come on, more swivel. Pick it up. That's
I don't
so
know.
Funny, actually.
Yeah, I just noticed that this last issue, but.
I feel like Jock's work would be pretty interesting because it seems like it's a very bright book for the most part, and he does a lot of dark books.
Yeah,
he like witches and like Batman and stuff. Those are like darker books, so I feel like that would be something kind of different for him.
He does a really good job of making it seem like empty, like there's like not a lot of people.
Cool.
The only thing you know that these people know is this like super long trench. And so even though there's a lot of white with the snow and stuff like that, it's still kind of creepy and like scary.
Sweet.
Which is really cool.
I like that.
Yeah, he kills it for sure.
Nice. I picked up Shadecraft number 2.
Oh, yeah? Did you read one?
I read 1 and 2.
Pretty good?
It's just pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I liked it enough to pick it up.
It's got a movie deal, Nathan.
I know, but like...
Could be worth money.
Well, I got issue 1 and 2. Those are the ones that are probably going to be worth the most, so...
Sure.
But like I guess I had really high expectations because I loved Skyward and I just loved the concept of Skyward itself.
Yeah, and it's like the same team, right?
I think that's it's the same team. It's Joseph Henderson who writes it, and then Lee Garbett, I think is his name.
Yeah, I follow.
Draws it.
He's awesome.
He is awesome, and he's great in this book as well. Don't get me wrong, but I just think the concept is like not exactly there to like keep my interest.
Okay,
it's basically just like a girl. She's in school or whatever. Her brother's in a coma. And she's scared of shadows that are chasing her,
okay.
Seemingly. And people think that she's crazy or whatever. And she's like, no, I swear there's actually shadows. And then later she finds out that her shadow is her brother who's in the coma.
Oh, I like that.
Which is kind of cool. And then there's like, but the part that I like the most about it, which is like such a minuscule detail, but her brother is represented as a shadow. And I think one of the coolest parts, and it's probably a pain in the dick to draw, is sometimes his shadow is over a bunch of different surfaces and he draws it that way.
So oh,
like
nice.
If your shadow hits just the wall, it looks normal. But if it hits a bunch of different shapes,
like a curb,
like a curb, or like at one point it's like over like a shelf that's like open, or like a drawer that's open.
Uh-huh.
And he accounts for that too. And I think that must be like a super pain in the dick, but he does it really well.
Probably a ton of reference photos that you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that aspect of it. I just don't know if the story itself, cause I'm trying to like cut down on more series, you know.
Sure. If anything, I need more series because like last couple weeks there's like been like one thing.
I think you'd like Shadecraft then, like it's very smooth.
I think I still really like the high school setting kind of stuff, and this seems like a vibe I'd be into. Like
he does that well, I think,
like
for
the
sure
plot. Okay,
he doesn't force in like people trying to say like bussin or whatever.
Bussin,
that'd be kind of funny. That's a bad example, but like he doesn't try and make people say like
there's
lit.
Like background people are just like shh.
Yeah. But like it's hard to like predict that because like if someone puts in sheesh like right now, if they're writing a book, it's sheesh probably isn't going to be a thing in like 3 months,
you know? Oh yeah,
so
it's kind of like cringy. It's kind of like glizzy, like last year
glizzy, yeah,
that'll just disappear.
If someone says glizzy in a comic book, I'm cringing and I'm shutting it.
I'm like I'm lighting it on
it's
fire.
It's a vow that I'm taking right now. Even if it's the best book in the world, if someone says glizzy in it, I'm throwing it away.
Light it on fire and show me.
And I'm not picking up the next issue.
No, take a snap. Be like, they said glizzy in this book.
If it's a Green Lantern book, I'm throwing it away. Like, I can't continue.
And then tag the creators on Twitter.
Yeah.
Be like, why would you say glizzy?
I'll play this clip.
This didn't age well, dude.
You know what you did, writer. So, yeah, I picked up Shadecraft. I picked up Robin number 1, which I was kind of pumped for. It's a Joshua Williamson book drawn by Gleb Melnikov. And he's like really good. He definitely carries this book.
Really?
Yeah. It's a story about Damian Wayne, and he's kind of pissed that Alfred's dead. So it's like in continuity because Alfred dies in City of Bane. I know you haven't read it yet, but he's dead.
Okay.
and he kind of goes on like his own kind of like spiritual journey type thing to the Lazarus Island.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. Spoiler, he dies at the end.
Robin?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like his heart is out of his chest, dies at the end.
That so doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't, especially on a place called Lazarus Island. So
right.
I think I'll flip through issue two and be like, if there's a cool character I see in here, then maybe I'll pick it up, but we'll see.
You know, like, I think I've gotten to the point in my comic reading career, will you, where like just like the title and seeing a number one is just like not enough for me.
It's not for me either.
Yeah. It's like, I know Joshua Williamson, there's things I've liked by him. I think signed by him.
Yeah.
But like, it's really just going to be like a dynamite team or I have to hear about it.
I picked it up because of the artist. Like, I'm the same way with Joshua Williamson. I'm not going to buy every single thing that he does. I do like him. Like, he has great work. But yeah. I think it was the artist that did it for me because he almost seems like a mix between, like, Greg Capullo and, like, Jim Lee. Oh, like, it's okay. An artist I've never heard of before, but seeing his, like, stuff and seeing a couple preview pages, it looks like a really fresh take. So that's why I picked it up. But who knows? Maybe I'll pick up issue two and I'll end up liking it.
Have you ever read Birthright?
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah, it's an Image book. It's like kind of like fantasy looking.
Probably not. I'm not a big fantasy person.
It goes on a lot of hiatuses, but I think it's currently coming back out again.
Who's it by?
Joshua Williamson.
Oh, okay.
Super solid. I read like the first couple trades of it.
Nice. Picked up Beta Ray Bill, talked about that. It's great. Teen Titans Academy number 2.
Oh, came out,
which is
you
that
like
book,
that, huh?
Which, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the first issue, and nothing has changed about the second issue. It's still like a really, really awesome book that I'm like super pumped about. It's like Teen Titans Academy is what it's called, but it's the concept where there's the Titans, which are the Titans that we know and love, like Nightwing, Starfire, Raven, Cyborg, Beast Boy.
Yeah. Then the Teen Titans.
Donna Troy. And then there's the Teen Titans, which is like
Kid Flash, Robin.
Bunker, the kid Wonder Woman one, that one. And then there's the Teen Titans Academy, which are the kids. And
is that Donna Troy, the kid Wonder Woman?
Donna Troy, I think, is in the Titans, and then there's like another Wonder Woman one, but I don't remember what it is. And then there's the lower class, which are the ones that are being trained. And it has like such a fun vibe of just like balancing legacy characters and then like the current like new Teen Titans characters while also having like an X-Men vibe that I've really been craving.
Okay.
Because with the X-Men currently, I was thrown way the fuck off of it when there was a 23-part event.
Oh,
and I said
that.
No. But it's not like the X-Men were really like the X-Men vibe with Hickman on it. It was still like really good, but it wasn't like normal X-Men. So I feel like having that, but in a DC sense with those really good characters, and there's like a love triangle in there and stuff. It's like, it's really cool. And then Red X, who's the character that I thought was the coolest fucking thing of all time as a kid, is incorporated in there. And you don't know who the Red X is.
Wasn't Robin just the Red X?
Robin was, but it's not Nightwing running around as Red X. We don't know who it is. So
is it Red Hood?
Also,
is Tim Drake still dead?
Probably. I haven't seen him around lately. I think he's alive.
He died in Detective Comics, but I don't know if I've actually seen him be like, oh, he's back.
No, he's alive. He's alive.
Watch him be Red X.
If I haven't sold you on this book already.
No, I'm going to get it.
There's a new character. He's a gorilla. His name is Gorilla Greg.
It's a fantastic name.
Instead of Gorilla Grodd, he's Gorilla Greg.
That's much better.
Isn't that awesome?
What the fuck is Grodd? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick.
It's awesome. And then I read Berserker number 2, which is also great.
Did I buy that?
The Keanu Reeves one.
Yeah, I can't remember if I have it or not.
So I read that, and that's also, I think it's better than the first issue, to be honest. So
Who publishes that?
Boom, I believe. Boom Studios.
I don't know. It's Berserker. But
it said it was going to come out last week, but it came out this week, so I'm not sure what's going on there. But yeah, really
Fresh
good pull
comics
list.
Or?
No, I had to like look it up. I don't think I saw it on Fresh Comics.
I fucking hate this app.
Yeah, I need to find a better one, to be honest. But
I don't know if there is a better one, though. That's what I'm...
Yeah.
That's what I'm maybe upset about.
So, anyway, what did you watch? We're at a minute. We're an hour 15, by the way. So.
I don't watch anything. Sarah's been watching a lot of Survivor. And
I don't think I've watched anything either.
Yeah, so...
Let me think. No. I watched a couple more episodes of Better Call Saul, and it's getting spicy and stressful, so I like it.
Sounds like Breaking Bad.
Yeah. But this one's more lawyery, and I never thought that like a show about a lawyer, like he's like doing actual lawyer stuff. Like there's not as much like cartel and like drugs and stuff as I thought there would be. He's like doing actual lawyer stuff, like elder law, is what he's doing, but they make it really interesting.
That's so cool.
But I think it's like getting more into lawyer stuff, and Mike is in it, the old guy, the old assassin guy.
Oh yeah, he's the best.
Awesome in this, dude.
Yeah, that's how he is.
I like the show a lot.
I always thought lawyers were just cooler on TV.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, like, I never thought, like,
and it's not that'd like
be a fun job or anything.
And it's not like they're not, like, true to, like, what lawyers actually do. Like, a lot of it is just working on one particular case, and it's just like, yeah, they're throwing a bunch of paperwork at us, so we got to figure that out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they make that interesting somehow.
Okay.
Which is cool. But yeah, nice. I like it. I didn't get the chance to watch the season finale of the Fat W's.
Honestly, like, I wasn't too surprised by anything.
Yeah. I've seen the Captain America, like Sam Wilson Captain America stuff, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks
good. I just haven't seen the episode itself, because I normally watch it with Sophia, and we haven't had the chance this week, so.
I just think, like, the cowl will take a little getting used to, just, like, looking at it, because it comes up, like, on his neck, and then it's, like, that head thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, rather than just, like, the sunglasses or whatever that he has.
I'm pretty sure it's a head thing in the normal books.
No.
I think it's all, like,
no, the head cowl thing is, it's very accurate, but, like, in accordance to just seeing Anthony Mackie's head in something. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I thought...
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because his Falcon suit was just whatever.
Yeah.
Was there a hint at Falcon? Like,
no.
Joaquin Torres Falcon?
No, nothing like that.
Interesting.
Okay. Red Ring was in this. That was cool.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He was dead earlier.
Yeah. Okay. I guess he got a new one.
Interesting. Anyway, I guess let's just talk about Invincible then.
Yeah, sounds good.
What a fucking episode, dude.
Let me remember what happened.
This
is a great episode.
Shit hits the fucking
this
fan.
This is like
is
one
what
of the
happens.
Best ones.
Dude, it is. Omni-Man is so scary.
You should be scared
of
him.
He's such an ass, but he's so cool.
But, like, you can't just, like, call him an ass because you're scared of him.
I'm scared of him, honestly. And, like, they just deliver that so well because, like, we knew what was going to happen.
He's right.
Going to go crazy. Everybody's going to try and stop him.
That's what makes this show exciting because you know it's going to happen, but you just want to see how they deliver it for, like, other people, like new viewers and stuff like that.
And I think the situation that Mark was put in to where he doesn't know what's going on worked pretty well too.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have his phone when shit's hitting the fan. So he thinks he's just going to go back to his parents, but he's trying to, like, go after Amber rather than go back to his parents. And like, his parents also don't know where he is. So I just think that worked, like, really well.
It really scared me, like, how much Cecil tried to, like, stop.
Yeah.
Omni-Man, and he's just throwing, like, all of his chips at him, and first, like, nothing was working.
When all that stuff started, when he's, like, killing the people in his own house, do you remember when he, like, pushes someone over, like, the kitchen island?
Yeah.
And that person slides.
Like, and then he jumps, like, it hops, like, the gap, and then it goes against the wall.
Yeah, that's how...
And I was like, awesome. Oh, he hopped the gap. Like, <Yeah. I>
don't know. Oh, dude, that was sick.
Because it happened so fast, and I don't know if Sarah noticed it, so I was like, oh, man, that was crazy.
And, like, the house next door was, like, a fucking, like...
Like, surveillance thing?
Yeah, it was, like, when... In movies, there's, like, a white truck and there's, like, surveillance things. That was a whole house.
Yeah.
And Cecil's bitch boy died, but he was, like, so honorable about it.
Yeah, he's like, it's been an honor, sir. And then, like, he, like...
And he, like...
But I guess Cecil was, like, listening to him. He's like, the honor's all mine.
I know. Yeah. I was like, it's just so... Like, the whole explosion, he's like, yeah, it should hopefully knock him out for, like, an hour at most.
And then he's just standing there.
And I'm like, fuck, dude. And, like, just throwing everything at him is just so exciting.
Like, they have some sort of, like, satellite beam thing that looks pretty fucking strong.
They have the Hammer of Dawn from fucking Gears of War come down on him twice.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that thing.
And it just gives him a nosebleed. And then Cecil's like, that was the world's most expensive nosebleed.
Yeah, I feel like that was, like, a $4 billion nosebleed.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's, like, some little things I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Black Samson gets his powers back. That's cool. He's the only really good character.
The robot stuff?
Yeah. So, robot has, like, this, like, malfunction thing. And then his, like, clone that the Mahler twins were making is, like, done.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a kid version of
Rexplode.
Rexplode.
Yeah. So, I guess his plan initially was just put his mind into Rexplode kid. But it wasn't his mind transferring over to that kid. It was just copying and pasting it onto a kid. Is that right?
I thought it was kind of like a... I guess it is like a copy and paste, yeah.
So, like...
Because his, like, old body was, like, still alive and functional. Yeah.
So, robot, like, died, and this is just, like, the clone of robot, but picking up where he left off, right?
Yeah. So robot, it wouldn't be, like, attached to, like, a old body because it's still like him, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And he's still able to function. So
he was happy with the fact when he died that his mind was put into a kid to live a life that he wanted to live.
Right.
Like, he was happy with that.
Exactly.
But also he's got robot powers because he's got the thing in his neck.
Yeah, so he can still control like all robot. The robots that he has, mm-hmm. Like he was before.
Yeah,
they got to this super quick.
Is it weird though?
What,
like his relationship with Monster Girl?
It's
hard to tell.
It feels weird in the show. Like in the book, I felt like I'm like oh, but
because it's like I don't know how old Robot was when in his like little gremlin form or whatever.
I don't know either.
But that, you know, Monster Girl's a kid.
Monster Girl is physically a kid.
Is physically a kid, but mentally an adult. So when Rexplode turns himself into a kid, he can't expect Monster Girl to be attracted to a kid.
Because, but he could also be, like, mentally older.
So is it fucked up then? I don't know. They're both mentally older, turned into kids, and they...
It's not like they're going to smash as kids. He's going to figure out a way.
How old are they? They're, like, 15. That's smashing age. That's a weird thing to say.
I don't think
like,
they're going to, though.
They're probably not.
Because they... spoilers, they figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? So he... he just, like, felt closer, like, the way he mm-hmm. described.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that all was done very well. And so the Mahler twins, they escape, right?
Yeah, it looks like it. Because I think his robots...
Oh, because
like,
Robot had to go back to the Guardians, I think.
Yeah, to be on, like, call
yeah.
for Omni-Man. Mm-hmm. That's also a scary thought that they're like the last line of defense basically against Omni-Man.
A bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
And like the old Guardians of the Globe couldn't stop them. So.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, Immortal comes back from the gulag.
Yeah.
And then dies again from the same guy. Imagine in Call of Duty, I know you haven't played Warzone, but when you die, you have a chance to come back.
Yeah. You go in the gulag.
Yeah. You go to the gulag, you come back.
I understand the memes.
You haven't played the game though. So I'm just saying, imagine you get killed by a guy, you survive the gulag, and you're like, I'm going to go back and fight that guy. And then you get killed by him again. That's what happened to Immortal.
So the most frustrating
thing.
The thing is, when he first died, he did not die in like the book. But in this, he's decapitated and is like buried.
He's pretty dead.
And super dead. But Immortal is like pretty close to being a Viltrumite.
Yeah.
But he's just not as strong and does not recover as quickly. Mm-hmm. This time, he got like punched through his chest.
Yeah.
And so he would probably come back from that.
Okay.
So he's not like dead again. He got defeated for
it
sure.
It seems like his mind or his essence is like kind of stored in the place that he gets his powers from. Because like as an old caveman or whatever, he touches like a blue thing. And it almost seems like that, like his mind is like not tied to him physically. So like if his head gets smashed, he could probably still come back and like remember everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah, potentially.
It almost seems like that, but... I liked that the only way to sort of like take Omni-Man down was for there to be that giant thing that doesn't feel pain on top of...
Yeah, it's like a big Cthulhu thing.
On top of him getting beat up by a bunch of the people in the Hammer of Dawn, and then on top of Immortal. Like, that's what it takes to like...
'Cause like
to keep him occupied.
The way I know Immortal is like pretty fucking close to Omni-Man as far as like strength.
Yeah.
But he just like wipes the floor with him and like...
He does better the second time, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
Some space.
Yeah. That was a really cool fight.
It was great, yeah. When he punches him through the chest, everybody sees, too, because the news is there.
That's not how I imagine that happened, because they always, like, show, like, them, about like, loading up their fist or whatever, and then, like, when their hand's, like, through them, they have, like, their hand, like, straight, like, kind of like a Nazi thing, and so I always figure that they, like, stabbed him, but it's, like, more of a punch, I guess.
No, he, like, just punches through him.
Yeah.
Makes that work. Yeah.
But
and so now... We're at the place where Mark has to make a decision.
Well, Mark doesn't know, but there'll be a really long thing.
He doesn't know what's going on, technically.
Yeah, so this next episode, he'll explain like his actual origin.
Yeah.
And then I saw a teaser where he's like, you lied to me. And then I imagine just a big fight.
Yeah. Well, it's out now, so we'll know by next week.
Let me see if I forgot anything. Oh, I guess there's something where like Cecil, like he wouldn't call back the monster when it's fighting Mark.
Because it's... That was his best chance of killing Omni-Man.
Yeah, and he can't... that's his best chance. And
even if Mark dies too, Omni-Man's dead, which is, like, the goal, and he has to, like...
And then also, like, Mark... Something, like, where, like, Mark is, like, his...
His best chance at beating Omni-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that situation, too, because... Because
if he saves Mark, he saves Omni-Man.
Correct. And he has to risk that, you know, potentially Mark dying to potentially have Omni-Man die with Mark's mom right next to him.
Yeah.
And then he says that line where Mark's mom says that line's like, I hate you. And he's like, I hate myself too for that reason. You know,
his
dilemma is such like the most impossible decisions, but he has to make them, you know,
he makes so many decisions like that, like all the time. And it's so cool. Yeah. I think they're written super well.
And he's Cecil's like, awesome. He's almost alluded to have been like the bad guy, at least in the beginning. Cause he looks like a bad guy. He's an old guy with like marks on his face and shit.
Yeah.
But he's awesome.
Yeah. He's definitely like, kind of like a Nick Fury. When, like, when you don't like, love him all the time, but he's definitely authority.
Kind of. He could be a little sketchy, but he has good intentions, I feel like.
When yeah, for sure.
That scene where he was like teleporting around and stuff
was
super cool. I thought it was going to be like too much on him almost.
Uh huh.
Cause it seemed like he was struggling a little bit. But yeah, that part was kind of sick.
Something that they did, I can't remember how accurate it is, but Invincible decides to tell Amber that he's invincible.
Yeah, and she knows.
And she's just like, I know. And he's like, what?
I don't know how much
so
I believe that.
So do you get why I'm late all the time? She's like, yes, but you lied to me. I'm like, bitch, he's saving the world.
Yeah.
Like, why? You're just taking something and making it about you and turning it into a problem. And I'm just like,
ugh. I mean, yeah.
Like, I get where she's coming from.
But yeah. I get where she's coming from, but it's like, what do you expect, I guess?
Yeah.
Do you want
him to tell you right off the bat? It takes a bit of trust.
It does. And I guess she was hurt that she wasn't trusted, which I guess makes sense. But like,
this thing's been going on for like a month, maybe.
I feel like it's more, but yeah, it would take forever.
Yeah.
For you to reveal something like that.
Mm-hmm.
His own best friend didn't know. And he's not super pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because he's a boy, you know? He's part of the boys. He's
just like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Ember thing is interesting. And then she's just, like, watching the whole fight go down, so she still cares about him, clearly.
Yeah, she's just been really salty the last couple episodes. But, great episode. Excited for the season finale.
I'm not excited for it to be over, but...
Me neither, but...
It needs to be good.
I'm glad that it was, like, condensed to, like, 8 episodes.
The pacing is really done really well, I feel like.
Yeah, super solid.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'd rather wait and have it be good than to just have more.
Yeah, exactly.
So, good stuff.
And so I feel like with the animated stuff, it might not take as long to get like the second season out.
This is like the best animated show out right now, right?
Like literally like ever.
Yeah, like my favorite.
I try to think of other ones, so I'm like, no way, this is so good.
Yep, it is. It's very easy to get attached, so... Very good. So that's the poll list. And I guess we know what we're going to read next week because Jupiter's Legacy comes out.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I did a bit of research on this.
Okay.
And apparently the way the trades are numbered is not how they came out.
Yes. So they did like a Star Wars? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of. Yeah. So the third trade is the first trade that Mark Millar and...
Frank Quitely
came out with. And then they did...
Quitely.
Frank Quitely.
Quitely, not quietly.
Oh, Frank Quitely.
Yep.
And then they came out with volume 1 and 2 with a different artist, which is like a prequel. Prequels. And then they came out with the fourth trade.
So Jupiter's Legacy volume 1 is not Frank Quitely. It's Davide Gianfelice.
Right. And so that's a prequel. So I think we should...
We should do volume 3.
Correct.
Okay.
But, like, the way it's numbered is, like, chronological order in the timeline.
Well, that's confusing as shit.
I know. I had to look it up. And there's, like, a whole comic book resource article about it.
But volume 3 still starts at number 1.
Yeah. So, there's... So I don't know if you remember...
So, like, each volume starts at number 1? Is that what I'm saying? Yeah, it does. That's insane.
Nathan, listen to me. So, when the books were coming out in single issue, they were called different things. Okay. There's, like, Jupiter's Legacy. There's Jupiter's Legacy 2, which was a sequel. That was volume 4. And then there's Jupiter's Circle, which I think is like the prequel. I don't know if you ever remember seeing those.
I do remember, yeah.
Yeah, so trade 3 is the one that we'll read.
Cool. Well, I'm excited.
Me too.
Some Frank Quitely stuff.
Frank Quitely.
Apparently it's not his real name. I just found that out.
What?
It's called a spoonerism, apparently. What's
a spooner? A pseudonym, you mean?
No. It's like a pen name, but his pen name is what's called a spoonerism because it's like a play, it's a play on quite frankly, but he flips those and it's Frank Quitely.
That's funny.
And that's his pen name. So I just learned that recently.
What's his actual name?
I don't know. He doesn't really say, I don't think. He just got a Twitter, though. He's very happy on Twitter.
That's cool.
He's very, like, Scottish, too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, the show's fucking great, and I can't wait to, like, watch it. And I was like, fuck yeah, like, Jupiter's Legacy. So,
let me find
I'm pumped with that.
Cuckoo.
So that's the show for this week. Thank you all for giving us a listen. If you want to reach us, you can email us using the email tradewaiterspod@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter @tradewaiterspod. I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our theme, and thank me for all my hard work on the other songs.
Yep. And I only thank Nathan Moss, by the way. So but yeah, that's the show. We'll see you next week.
Next week.